haven't I?
She addressed the question to Doc, who dropped a low formal bow, one hand across his heart, the other striking an angle with the sword stick.
Madam, I think not. I'm certain that even a failing memory like mine could scarcely have edited you from my mind. The loss is mine.
Randy, old lecher.
I came originally from the Tecumseh Valley. My late husband was a builder of bridges there.
Indeed. And now you've burned those bridges to retire here to the glades.
Why, yes. Yes.
Kelly had been tapping his foot with shrinking patience.
Want us to go on and leave you here with Mrs. Owen and her friends, Doc?
No. No, thank you, my dear fellow. I must keep with my companions.
Doc bowed again.
Fare you well, charming lady. Perhaps our paths will cross again.
Oh, I hope so. And do tell the Baron we're still hoping for a meeting, Mr. Kelly. Won't you?
Sure.
They went on. Baron Larry Zapp finally made an appearance. A flatbed truck of impenetrable pedigree approached, the engine spluttering gray smoke from a broken exhaust. On the back was a pile of what looked like old mattresses from the motel, stacked together to provide a horizontal throne for the ruler of Green Gladesville. Dean grabbed his father's sleeve.
Dad, he's stone shitless. How's he gonna take us on the rides?
Kelly heard him.
Boss doesn't go himself. You go, and I go, and he sort of hangs around and asks us what it was like. They don't make any rides the right size for the boss.
Zap opened one elephantine eye. It rolled in the socket, finally managing to focus on Ryan's face.
You nearly battered me to death, you one-eyed son of a bitch. You and John Dix.
You're right. But you had it coming, Larry.
The great head nodded, like a gargantuan Buddha.
True. Sad, but true. Kelly here is gonna take you on one or two of the rides. My dear companion in sensual excess, Adam Draven, will be riding with you as well, and a few of his posse.
He stopped speaking. Not because he'd actually finished, but because his brain had closed down some of the lines of communication. The only sound was the rumbling of the truck's beat-up engine, filling the air with its labored stench.
That's it? Audience with the Baron over?
Shit.
That dream's fucking his head into the middle of next week. Come on, people. Let's go and have us some fun.
Ryan stood in line, looking up at this skeleton of rusting steel that was painted a dusty yellow. The sign said, Pharaoh's Curse. He reached into the pocket of his coat, his fingers touching the frail, crumpled piece of paper from the redoubt. For a moment, he considered throwing it away. Then he looked around, seeing how clean everything looked. Suddenly, his attention was distracted. Someone had switched on a machine, and a crackling voice came looping through the mild afternoon air from a number of speakers, which were disguised as plastic pyramids.
Welcome to the house of Funky King Tut, last of the royal daddies, and his mother, Nefertiti. Are you ready to face his ride of death? Mighty Osiris and Anubis wait to snatch your souls and ride the race into eternal darkness. If you are...
Kelly looked up.
Fucking death. Tape's broken again. Keeps on happening on a lot of the rides.
Dean had reached out and touched Ryan's hand, holding on for a moment.
It really dangerous? It's such a ride of death, and I...
No, it's just a load of showman's hype, turning the pitch and bringing in the marks. It was ever thus, Dean.
Company.
JB's quiet voice made Ryan turn around. Adam Traven was walking toward them, accompanied by a raggle-taggle group that Ryan assumed must be his posse. There were eight of them, though at a first glance it was difficult to determine what the sexual mix was. There were four with short hair, and four with long hair. But none of the crop heads looked particularly masculine.
Hi there, Kelly. The Outlanders having their treats before they go back into the wilderness?
Boss said to take them on some rides.
Kelly sounded as if he were trying to subordinate his dislike of Traven, and not doing a very good job of it.
Good. Maybe one or two of my little family might care to join you.
Traven danced around, feet tapping, jacket whirling, the splinters of mirrored glass catching the watery sun. None of his posse showed any response. Now that they were closer, Ryan was able to pick out the two men among them. Both wore tight pants and thin cotton material that accentuated their maleness. But both were slim, with long, fair hair that tumbled over their submissive faces. They wore jackets sewn together from bright scraps of old material, like antique patchwork. All but two of the girls also wore tight pants, some with long coats over them. Two had very short pants cut high, the stretched material vanishing into the taut cleft of their buttocks. They also had on high-heeled boots with platform soles.
Tenderloin hookers.
You got that right, Doc.
One of the girls moved to hang on Traven's arm, swaying gently backward and forward.
Oh, can I go ride with the Outlanders?
Oh, sure, Sky. Anyone else? No? I wouldn't mind myself. I could show your son the excitements of this place, Ryan Carter. But me and Lardass got some more talking to do. And we got to plan us a visit as well.
For some unaccountable reason, the word visit seemed to strike a chord with the bored group, and they all looked up at their leader, simultaneous adoring smiles lighting their tight-pinched faces, as though he'd pressed a button for them. The girl called Sky hopped up and down.
Oh, can we all come, Adam, can we?
On your visit? Sure. But we'll all talk about it tonight.
We're going on the ride?
Sure, son, in just a minute. Just keep your pecker in your pants.
Ryan glanced from his son to Traven, and saw there an expression that chilled his heart, raising the hackles at his nape. The little man's eyes had been locked to Dean's face, with something that came close to hunger.
So, Adam, can I go on the visit?
Sky kissed Traven on the cheek, distracting him. He blinked, taking his eyes off the 10-year-old boy. The girl was close to Christie's 5'11", and she had short reddish hair. She was the only member of the posse in a skirt. It was loose cotton and swirled around her knees in a bright batik pattern of mauve and citrus. Her eyes were a very pale green, unusually close together. Above the skirt, Sky was wearing a long-sleeved blouse with pearl buttons, cream-colored, tucked in. Her legs were bare, and she had low-heeled sandals on her feet, thonged up over her ankles. As far as Ryan could see, she wasn't carrying any kind of weapon. She looked at the line, waiting to climb the steps toward the start of Pharaoh's curse.
Hey, you got an odd number of people. Who do I ride with?
Kelly turned to Ryan.
I'll sit with the boy.
Doc smiled broadly, showing his excellent set of gleaming teeth.
I believe that the opportunity to chaperone such a delicate flower of the Everglades is going to fall to yours truly. I'm Dr. Theophilus Tanner, but you may call me Doc. Everyone else does, my dear.
Sure. Whatever you say. I'm Sky. Got no other name now.
Now?
Used to have some other names, but Adam called me Sky, and that's what I am now.
Traven waved a hand and beckoned his little flock tighter around him.
See you later, Sky.
Have a nice day.
They walked off, the sparkling mirrored jacket catching the eye as Traven moved along the path toward the center of the ville. Sky bounded toward the start of the ride, dragging Doc behind her. Dean went next, eyes alight with excitement, Mildred and J.B. following him more slowly. Christie smiled and began to climb after them, with Ryan at her heels. But Kelly caught him by the arm and stopped him.
A word, Outlander?
Yeah? What is it?
I seen Traven a lot. Know him. Keep your boy away from him and get away from here as quick as you can.
I saw his face, but...
Kelly was very close, so that Ryan could feel his breath on his skin.
Bad things happen here since that little prick arrived. I told you, boss won't lift a finger, Ryan. Just watch the boy. Watch him close.
His mind racing, Ryan climbed the steel steps, following the stocky figure of the sec man, joining the others on the platform that was lined with mock hieroglyphics. Dean was waiting for him, grinning.
Come on, Dad, let's go!
Despite the loose connections, the showers of bright rust, and the rattling and vibrating, Ryan enjoyed one of the most amazing afternoons of his entire life. As they waited on a narrow platform with painted instructions to stand in line and only two to a car, they heard a grinding of gears and a whirling rumble of oiled chains. Then the line of linked capsules came.